Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 236. It's the week of January 20th, 2017, first show of the new year. I'd like to thank everybody for coming along. Thank you for coming back if you're a returning listener. I really love my loyal listeners that come back time after time after I've been putting this podcast together since 2008. It was just a delight to have so many regulars that I hear from, and we got a great email bag section of the show for this episode. If you're new to the show, I'm an ordinary middle-of-the-pack nobody who likes to participate in long-distance running, marathons, half-marathons, 50K, 50-mile. I've done 100K. I'm not sure if I'll ever do that again. But I just like running really long and for long distances and long periods of time, and because you always meet very interesting people along the way and have interesting experiences. I've done, since I've started the podcast, I've really only done a handful of interviews, and my show is not necessarily an interview-based show because I started it mainly just the podcast just to kind of hold myself accountable for some training I was trying to do. And I listened to other running podcasts and decided to give it a go, and so I did that back in 2008, and I feel like the product has gotten a little bit better over the years. So it's you might listen to some shows, and they do lots of interviews. That's just kind of not my style, but from time and again and now and then, I come across somebody who I've gotten to know, and I just think they have an interesting story to tell. And I have one of those for this episode. Down Under Dave, also known as David Williams, who lives in Australia, was the subject of this episode with the interview that we did over FaceTime. And it's pretty good. He's 69 years old. We had just a great chat. He's participated in countless marathons and ultras. He's lived in different parts of the world. And we just had a really nice chat. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But let me just give you a little bit of background about him. He's born in England. He played many sports as a youth. He loved cricket and golf the most. He lived in Hong Kong for 4 years, where he said he led a fairly dissolute life. And I had to look that word up because I didn't know what it meant. It's an adjective, and it means lax in morals. And a sentence might be a dissolute, drunken, disreputable rogue is what I found on the online Merriam-Webster definition. I thought that was interesting. He said he had lots of beer and partying, and there he met a keen runner who talked me into putting on a pair of joggers, which I guess is what he calls running shoes. He started running every evening, soon learned that he wasn't meant to get faster. The turning point in his running career was when he read Jim Fix's book called The Complete Book of Running. To him, it was very inspiring. He moved to Sydney, Australia, where he joined the Sydney Striders and got involved in the administrative part of the club, as well as running many marathons after marathons. 70 marathons and about 20 ultras later, he got a bad injury. He was forced to stop running for a number of years. But he started up again in 2005 when he and his wife lived on Flinders Island in Tasmania, which is, I think he told me he's on the southern part of Australia, mostly bush trails with his dog Susie, and was with lots of different runners. He couldn't stop. He prefers the long stuff to the fast stuff. And when we were kind of prepping for the show, my wife and my daughter and I were talking to David over FaceTime. And we asked him about the bush trails and the poisonous snakes on the island. And he said there's plenty of them. And usually he just jumps over them and his dog just jumps over them. So our chat is mostly about a recent race that David did called the Ancient Khmer Trail, which is a 6-stage race in Cambodia. And he had a lot to say about that. We talked a little bit about his other running. But it's mainly about his experiences with the stage race, and I think you'll find it interesting, and make sure you stick around for the email bag section of the show, which will be after the interview. The first tiny little segment is a lower volume audio, but just after like 30 seconds, it goes back to normal. I don't know what I was doing. I'm still an amateur podcaster. All right, I'm really delighted to have David Williams, also known as Down Under Dave, here on the podcast. He lives on Flinders Island, which is an island south of mainland Australia. I guess it's considered Tasmania. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
And if you're a regular listener to the show, then you know that I don't do interviews very often. The reason for this is that they're mainly time consuming, and sometimes it's hard to sit down with somebody when you both have the same hour or whatnot to block out and talk about running. So the interviews that I've done with the show are the ones that I feel like
really would have an impact on other people that listen to the show. So, and certainly this one with David Williams from Australia is going to be a great one. He just recently did a stage race in Cambodia, in the jungles of Cambodia, and it was the ancient Khmer Trail in Cambodia. Put on by a race company that he'll describe, and it's just simply an outstanding experience. It was a stage race, which David will talk about. Before we get to that, I wanted to ask, and David, welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Delighted to be on.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Now, you and I met through this podcast. I know you listen to other podcasts, and I think I've probably been emailing with you for probably 3 years or 4 years, maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised it's taken us this long, really, to get to an interview, because you've done quite a bit. Can you just tell the listeners a little bit about your running background and your experience with marathons and ultra marathons? Because I know you have a pretty extensive experience.
It's extensive, but it's not top of the range, Dave. I started back in the 80s, 1980s, with after reading Jim Fix's book, The Complete Book of Running, which has just totally inspired me. Moved to Sydney, Australia, and I joined a running group called the Sydney Striders, who ran marathons, and then a group of us branched off to do a few ultras here and there. In a way, I got a bit sick of running marathons. I did about 70 in all, but just probably like you, running on the road is it takes a demand on your body, and I got a bit bored with it. So the beauty of trails, as everybody who runs them knows, is just completely different. So So I got fast. I was interested in getting my marathon speed faster. Then all of a sudden I realized it wasn't going to be a world breaker, so I just decided to run more of them and slower. So that's what I've done, yes.
Now, you live on an island, Flinders Island, that you've told me is about 50 miles in length. Yes. I'm sure that, I don't know if the roads or trails, what's your local running scene look like, your local running environment when you head out from your house to go for a training run?
Okay, well, there's about 10 other runners that take it seriously on the island, we're a close-knit group, as all communities are, right? Running communities are, I guess. But I run 2 kilometres down the road. It's a gravel road with no traffic, and then I hit the bush trails with lots of snakes and wallabies jumping around, and the dog and I set off for 2 or 3 hours round and up some mountains. But you must please remember that the mountains we have in Australia are nothing like those you have in America, where they're probably just big hills.
Okay, what's a wallaby?
It's a small kangaroo.
Oh, okay. You haven't had to punch any out though, right?
I beg your pardon?
There was an internet video that I saw circulating where a guy punched a kangaroo in the face. I don't know if you saw that, but I'm
no,
sure a lot of people probably did in the U.S. What is, so I'm guessing if there's only 10 runners on your island that take running seriously, you probably do, if you do local races, I guess you fly over to the mainland?
Correct. We have a running festival each year here, which our little group puts on. And we attract quite a number of people here for that in September. Yes, if we want to go into events, we have to jump on a plane, which is half an hour each way, and head off to Tasmania or mainland Australia.
And this is a little off subject, but is it affordable just to jump on a plane and fly over? Is it comparable to? I mean, is it like 100 US?
No, 250 US return.
So it's
expensive.
Okay, gotcha. So when you choose to live on an island, it's a big decision, I guess.
It was. We moved here from Sydney to escape the hectic life that we were involved in up there. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, the main reason we're talking tonight is to talk about the stage race that you did in Cambodia, which I was just looking at the website. It's Global Adventures is the company, or Global Limits. It's an outstanding website. I'll give that at the end, or I'll link that in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. But what prompted you to start looking at a stage race? What you obviously at this point in your running career, you're I think 69 years old. You've done 70 marathons and or 90 plus, maybe more, even more races than that of shorter distances. What attracted you to this specific race? Being in going to a different continent, lots of logistics, lots of things can go horribly wrong. what prompted you to check out this stage race?
Well, I'd first started. That looks a nice beer.
Yeah,
it's a bit early. A bit early here.
Yeah.
I first did a multi-stage race in the Big Red Run in the Simpson Desert in Australia, and just loved that. And met some really, really nice people. And one of the fellows there said he was going to run in Cambodia. Did I want to join him? So. Okay. I jumped at the opportunity after getting the kind permission of my wife. Of
right.
Yeah. Once I looked at the Global Limits website, I was completely sucked in. It was a wonderfully organized event.
So you had done a stage race before in Australia?
Yes, the Big Red Run.
And I think I remember you emailed me about that. Can you tell the listeners what does that entail? What's that race about?
Yeah, that was 6 days, and it was 250 kilometers over sand dunes, across Gibber Plains, which are sort of really rocky terrains, really tough. It was a really tough race, and the blisters were awful. Okay. But the medical team there and the whole organization of the event was just completely outstanding. And I realized how much I love just being out in these wild places for days. And, of course, you're sharing tents and sitting around campfires with like-minded people, and it was just mind-bending, yeah.
So you had a friend that told you about the ancient Khmer Trail stage race.
Yes.
Did that friend end up doing it, or did you go by there?
Yes, he did. We shared a tent all the way through, which was memorable. And a few beers, too.
So I know it looked like each day had different distances, and we'll get to the logistics here in a second, but how did you prepare for doing a stage race? Were you going to be doing, 220 kilometers altogether in 6 days?
So yes.
I can't do the math. What's that? It's at least 20 miles a day, right?
Yes. And it was through a varied terrain, of course. There was muddy jungles with up to our thighs in water and mud. Yeah, it was pretty full on. And the heat and humidity, which of course you'd be used to, of course, but I wasn't. That took its toll. But it was really easy to train for because I didn't know what to expect.
Okay. Now, did you do for your training? Did you do consecutive days of double digit runs? Okay.
Yeah, I do back to backs normally, and I was doing back to back to backs. Sort of set me up for it, and I didn't do huge mileage, Dave. I was probably doing 100 kilometers a week, which is what, about 60 miles.
About 60, right?
And I'm like you. I'm a run walker, and I love to stop and take pictures. And I chatted to the locals and climbed into the paddy fields and hacked a bit of rice down. And I had an absolute ball. So yeah, it was wonderful.
Now, it looks like there was some certain rules in this race about you had to carry so much gear, and you can only what was it, like they would carry your, you could have 22 pounds of food.
It wasn't quite that bad. We had mandatory gear to carry, but our food was transported from campsite to campsite. So we weren't sort of doubled up carrying gear like they are in the Marathon des Sables.
What was the mandatory gear?
We had raincoats and medical gear, but probably no more than three kilos in our weight. I don't know what that is in pounds. Sorry.
I know. No more than 3 kilos. I think water. 10 kilograms is 22 pounds. I looked that up. So I guess 3 kilos would be a third of that. About.
Yeah.
I don't even think in terms of kilograms. I couldn't even. That's a whole different way of thinking.
But basically, not much. We didn't have to carry that much. It didn't have any effect on me at all. We obviously had to carry about 3 liters of water all the time. It was pretty draining. Pretty draining.
And you had water, or did you have to bring it?
They supplied the water. Yeah, but we carried it in our backpacks and then every 10 kilometers we were able to refill.
Okay. And they had, when you said they carried the food for you, did the race company provide meals?
No, we had that horrible freeze-dried food.
Oh.
Camping food, which we had to provide every breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Which they carried from campsite to campsite. Oh, okay.
So they carried it, but you bought it.
Yes. Yeah, we took it over with us, and they had to check that we'd got enough food. But the really good thing was that when they transported it to the next camp, they took an esky full of iced beer. And that so that made us push on a little bit.
Right. That's definitely in my list of questions is the beer question. So obviously travel, I don't know how long it takes to travel from where you live to where the race started. Was it like a full day of travel? Was it a couple of days?
Yeah. We flew from Sydney up to Singapore, which is 8 hours, and then from Singapore over to a place in Cambodia called Phnom Penh, was a 3-hour flight.
Okay. And did you have any kind of plan in case you got injured or you traveled with your friend, you know, or any kind of other race-ending problem? It just seems like so much could go wrong when you go so far from home. Maybe I'm just a pessimist. Yes.
You're quite right. Yeah, a lot of things can go wrong, and a lot of people had either tummy upsets or bad injuries, but everybody finished, and my plan was to run, walk, or crawl in. But I was going, to finish. Yeah, you don't go all that way to cry wolf and sit around the campsite all day.
Now, obviously, there's people there with different ability levels, and the race support people have to move the logistics has to move with the stages. How did it work over the course of the day? You would all, I guess, all start at one time, or you had to start by a certain time, and you have to be in by a certain time. How did that? Can you share that with the listeners?
Yes, with pleasure. We all started together, usually about 6 o'clock in the morning, before the heat really hit, and you just got in when you could. It was, they were set up very well to help everybody finish. If anybody had difficulties, they came out, and the medical team were there to help you up with blisters and things like that. So it was extremely well organized, and you were under no pressure. There were no time limits.
How did you know? Okay. How did you know where to go?
Good question. got lost a couple of times, but they had. They had a fellow run off ahead of us and to tie ribbons in and on the track, but a lot of the local kids When we approached a village, we'd see them running around with the ribbons tied around their heads, so we knew the knew they'd gone astray. But, I guess it's a bit like the trail runs in America. You've got to watch carefully. Yeah.
Okay. What was the hardest part about it? I mean, that's 220 kilometers, so that's 120-some miles over the course of not even a week. You're running every day. There's a lot of pressure. Even if you have blisters, you got to get those taken care of that night before you head out the next morning. And didn't you sleep on the ground?
Yes. I had obviously sleeping bags and blow up mattresses. But yes, you didn't get a good night's sleep really. Especially with the fellow in the tent next door snoring his head off all night long.
Well, I saw one of the pictures on the website has the tents maybe 6 inches apart in a big line. Yeah. Is that how they were every night?
Yep, it was the same every night.
Okay.
Yeah. But the campsites were set up in 600-year-old temple areas.
Wow.
It was magnificent. But yes, the hardest bit actually was getting out of bed each day, knowing you'd got to push yourself again, especially if you had a few blisters and sore bits. But I think somebody said once you're through the first 200 meters, it's all good. Everything clicks back. Your body remembers what it was meant to be doing.
Oh, the first 200 meters of the next day.
Yes,
I got
you. Sorry, of the next day. Yes,
I got you. So did you run into any problems that you had to solve, or was it just easy, or did you have any down, you know, some mental time where you just kind of felt low?
Yes, I had one really low day, and it was I think it was dehydration day. But we climbed my equivalent of a mountain, not yours. We climbed this mountain in about 35 degrees of heat. I got to the top a bit wobbly, and then it was all downhill from there for the next 30 kilometers. And I sort of basically collapsed over the line, and I'd done a lot of walking. Yeah, so that was an ugly day. But the next day, picked up and off you go again. Yes.
Now, had you been to Cambodia before in your travels?
Yes, I had. Yeah, and loved it. And the people are just beautiful. They've got nothing. They've absolutely right. nothing outside of the cities. But they are the most welcoming. Yeah, happy people that I've come across. Yeah, they've got one T-shirt, one pair of shorts, and a pair of thongs, flip flops. That's their entire wardrobe. They're always smiling and happy. So very, very impressive place.
Now, did anybody in your group have to? You said everybody finished, right?
Yes, there was one. Actually, there was a very interesting German fellow whose name was Erhard. And sorry, Erhard, if you're listening, but I can't remember your surname. He's run Badwater 5 times.
Wow.
Yeah, I just when he told me, I couldn't believe it, so I Googled it, and he had. he's in his 60s, and he hadn't been very fit for a while, and he couldn't finish one day. He had to be pulled off the course. But that was the only person who had any difficulties.
Now, was he allowed to? Start the next day?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. The people there, you know, their view is that we're there for the experience, and they're not going to make life difficult for you.
But you never covered part of Cambodia on foot before. I guess when you traveled before, you traveled by vehicle.
Yes. We went by, my wife and I went on a holiday around Cambodia and Vietnam. So, this was my first time on foot, and it was just magnificent. Mm.
Wow. So what's the biggest takeaway from this experience? I mean, I've read a lot, you know, you've shared a lot of other details with me through some of the emails that we've exchanged, and I know that you were very touched by the people that you came in contact with. What would you say to somebody who's thinking about a stage race? I mean, it sounds like if you're going to do some kind of stage race, you got to go somewhere kind of epic. You can't just kind of do it right in your backyard.
That's right. That's how I feel. I wanted to do something that was epic. That's a good word. And I think the biggest takeaway I had was again, like every race, the people. Spending 6 days around a campsite with people from so many different walks of life. They were from all over the world. It was just an incredible experience for me. Mm. And I'm in touch with a number of them now through the net, of course. And
cool.
It's and we'll see each other again at other races, I'm sure.
Now, do you speak other languages, or was English the main language?
English was the main language, but I can speak Australian as well. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about one of the most important things is the beer. Tell me about the experiences with Cambodian beer. And you said they brought a cooler of beer. Was it Cambodian beer, or was it imported?
Well, yeah, the Cambodian beer. It's a lagery beer. But it's 5%, the same as most beers. But it just hit the spot in that climate. It was the perfect beer. But better than that, the hotel we stayed at the first night we arrived in Phnom Penh had its own microbrewery.
Oh, wow.
And which was magic. So we sat around till late that night sampling all the different brews. So that was lovely. Mm. So, yes, they've got a good brew philosophy there.
Now, I guess I have another question. When you came in at the end of each stage, obviously people would come in at different times. Would everybody eat together, or did you your own thing and everybody gathered around the fire later? How did it work? What was the routine?
Yes, basically we ate together as much as we could. You'd sit down with two or three other people. Sometimes there were 10 of us. There was about 80 in all
okay.
for the race. Yeah, yeah. There was always to share a meal with.
That's cool. Now, this is called the Ancient Khmer Trail. It's by Go Global Limits, right? That's
yes.
the name of the company. And I looked on the website and I looked yep. at the results and I saw that you covered, everybody did get timed, so it was a competition.
Yes.
And it looks like you had 38 hours and some change of running. Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right, but put that way, it sounds horrific, yes.
That is a long, long time to be running. That's I guess it was for 6 days, but so I guess each stage would have taken you maybe 6 to 8 hours to cover the distance for that day?
Yeah, well, there was a long stage, Dave, of 65 kilometers, which is what, 50 miles, say.
Yeah.
That was through the jungle. Half of that was through muddy, terrible, terrible paths and tracks with thorns and bushes jumping out at you. So that was the longest day. That took me about 12 hours, I think,
okay.
you see on the website. Yeah. So that was the biggest bit.
Well, how if you went through water and mud, and then you get to the camp, how would you get into dry shoes for the next day, or did you not? Could you clean them?
If there was water available, like streams or things like that, we were able to wash our shoes. But basically, no. You just knocked off as much as you could, and off you went again. Yes.
And they didn't have any showers out at these remote campsites.
No showers. There were occasional streams to lie down in.
Okay.
But we got to know each other very well.
I can only imagine. So what would you do this specific one again? I'm going to go and look at the website here. It looks like the next one is for, it's already got the date up. It's, let's see. I don't know. When's the next one? Are you doing the next one?
No, I am.
November 24th, Friday.
I'll be honest, they're quite expensive. And I promised my wife that I've finished with international races now. I've just got to devote myself to economical solutions in Australia. As you said, I'm 69. I'm 70 this year. So I plan on doing running the length of the island, which is 76 kilometers, on my 70th birthday.
Wow!
And then And then I plan on doing a 24-hour race in July. And I think that'll be enough for the day. I'll probably, like you, Dave, I'll set myself a distance limit in that race. Quit after I've done that. What did you set yourself? Was it 50 miles?
I did. I've done one 24-hour race, but I only did it for 12 hours. And my goal was 50 miles in the first 12 hours. And I made that, and I was able to get in the car. I disappointed the race director because he had given me a complimentary entry for working a finish line at one of his other. And I said, well, I met my distance goal, and I'm going home.
Well, maybe I'll try that. I'll see how I go.
I don't know if I can go for 24. I mean, we've talked, the longest I've ever gone is 15 hours in that 100K. 24 hours is a real long way. I guess you can still sit down and rest for a little bit, but
well, I did it a number of years ago, and covered 102 miles.
Wow.
But like you said, I finished, got in my car to drive home, and I got to the first set of traffic lights and fell asleep. So I know what you're saying. I think you've got to be a bit careful.
Right. So you've got the 70-kilometer one coming up to celebrate your birthday.
Yes.
What month did you say?
May.
And then you've got the 24-hour race in July.
July.
Now, is the 24-hour race on a loop course, or is it...
Yes, it's a 1 kilometer gravel track.
So, okay, so you get real familiar. Yeah, you'll see lots. That'd be a lot of people participate in that?
I hope so. Yeah, there usually is.
Then you'll see a lot of other people during the course of that, because people will definitely lap each other a lot.
Yes, they'll be lapping me, yes.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. They lose track of where you're at. That's
yes,
for sure.
Exactly.
All right. What else about the stage race do you think people need to know about that we haven't covered? I mean, I'm just very intrigued by these stage races because they're still really long. But I mean, now you're telling me that you didn't even get to change into dry shoes. I guess you just dealt with the moisture, huh? I mean, What do you recommend to people that are looking for one? I guess there's better companies than others that put them on.
Yes, well, I've only had experience of two. That's the Big Red Run and the Cambodian one, and both of them have been superbly organized. I've had ambitions to run the Trans Rockies, which again looks a superbly organized event. I just feel that it's a wonderful running experience. You've do find your true limits, particularly towards the end of the week. You can push yourself. If you push yourself too hard early on, you get yourself in a bad situation, as I've seen a lot of people do. But my goodness me, it's an incredible running experience, and I'd recommend it highly to anybody. Mm.
I recently listened to a podcast. I think it was Ultra. Do you listen to the Ultra Running podcast? I can't think of what it's called. What is it called? Let me look at my podcast here. It's do you listen to any other running podcasts?
I'm ashamed to say I do, Dave.
Oh, well, that's okay. I'm not too big to admit that my podcast is not the best one out there. It's just, I think it's called this guy talked about a stage race that he did through, I think, the Himalayas. Is that?
Yeah. I was going to do that one.
Okay.
That's before I did the Cambodian run. I was keen to do the Nepalese one, but unfortunately I got pneumonia. My doctors said I'd be absolutely stupid if I did it. So.
Yeah. Okay. That must have been the one that because that was recent. I guess a couple months
ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time this evening. Something tells me we'll probably talk again at some point in the near future. I'm not sure what that will be about, but I really do appreciate your time, and I think everybody that listens to the show, I mean, we got a whole whopping 250 loyal listeners. It used to be around 500, but it kind of went down after I think I missed 2 months of shows, but that's all right. It keeps the community a lot smaller and more intimate.
Yeah, but before you go, I would just like to say that your podcast and your attitude towards running does inspire me.
Thank
you, Dave. And I look forward to talking to you and listening to you in the future.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I'm sure we'll talk again down the road.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that was a great chat with me and Down Under Dave. Time well spent. Many thanks to David Williams for blocking out the time. You might have heard earlier in the early part of the interview where he made a comment about how that looked like a nice beer. I don't know if you could tell or not. It's because we were talking on FaceTime and I was recording it. And it's 7 o'clock my time, but it was 11 a.m. the next day his time. And he saw me drinking a beer and he thought it was funny because he said it was a little too early for him. But never too early to crack open a cold one, especially if you don't have to work that day. So anyway, thanks again, David Williams, for the interview, and I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future. All right, let's get into the email bag section of the show. I heard from some new listeners and some veteran listeners. Heard from Midlow Pete. He's local, Midlothian, which is actually where my parents live on the other side of the James River. And he did the Keys 50, Keys 100, but it was the 50-mile race of that, which I did several years ago. And he sent me this. I asked him to send me his long race report because I love reading people's race reports. And somebody needs to fold the laundry up there. Jar just went off. He said, "Hello, Ashland Dave. Merry Christmas. Belated. Shocked there was no mention of your affinity for glitter this year." Sorry. Funny you should mention that there, Midlow Pete, because, yes, we got plenty of Christmas cards with glitter on them. And I do not know why people buy glitter on their cards. Glitter, what is it good for? Anyway, he did finish the 50-miler. He said the heat really kicked his butt, and I read his race report. And he definitely had a hard time out there, but he did finish. He says, "Continues to listen to the podcast, enjoy the variety and different perspectives that are provided. It was entertaining, and he was happy to hear me talk about the Piedmont 8-hour. Dan, the race director, does a great job with that, and the Dogwood 12-hour in April. So glad to hear him get some press." So it sounds like, Pete, that you might have either done the Piedmont last year in its inaugural year, or you've done the Dogwood 12-hour, so I'd be kind of curious to know. He also wrote in, we exchanged a handful of emails, but he actually got the Spartan Code. So the Spartan Code has now been claimed, and that is over. The Spartan people want you to go overboard with their offers. And while I'm happy to promote the race, if I can get a free race for one of the listeners of the show, they want you to put their logo on everything and this and that. And frankly, I just don't have the time to promote it much more than I do in the recorded portion of the podcast. So the relationship between me and the Spartan people might be, they might not ask me to come back. Heard from Scott out of, let's see, Dinwiddie County, which is Sutherland, Virginia. So another somewhat local person. He says, "Hey, Dave, I'm a new listener from Dinwiddie. Just wanted to let you know I've really enjoyed the podcast. How I heard about your podcast was from an online running group called the Extra Mile Podcast, which is a group of runners of all abilities and distances through a Facebook page and a podcast with host Kevin Gwynn. He held a group meetup at the Jeff Galloway 13-point or half marathon in Atlanta this past December. He met a few members, a few of the members in the lobby of the hotel, and then when he mentioned he was from Virginia, he was talking to two other people, Joe Sousa from Boston and Kevin Gwynn from Ohio, and they both asked him at the same time if he listened to Ashland Dave. So he said it was interesting that I mentioned places where I run, that because he's familiar with the area somewhat, and he also thanked me for mentioning the Piedmont 8-hour because it sounds like a beautiful place to run. I thought that was pretty cool that Kevin actually, I don't know if he listens to my podcast, but he knew about me because I actually used to listen to his, and it's pretty cool because like you said, Scott, he actually puts together audio clips from different people, and I just kind of ran out of time listening to other running podcasts. I listen to the Ultra Running Podcast maybe every third episode. I can sit through the whole thing. Or if I'm out on a run or something, but usually I listen to, ultra right wing conservative podcast that pisses my wife off a lot. So anyway, Scott, thanks for listening to the show, and glad to have you as a new listener, and maybe we'll cross paths someday down in somewhere in the Richmond area. We'll have to kind of maybe stay in touch a little bit. If I announce a race that's in the area that you're doing, make sure you email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and we'll try to hook up. Heard from Alex, and Alex, we exchanged a handful of emails. He did, let's see, he helped his wife with the rock and roll in, I guess, Arizona. He was more interested in the beer garden, though. And he asked me if I ever heard back from Ultra, and I have not, and I don't expect to at this point, because I figured I wrote the letter, I guess, about two episodes back, which was, I guess, 2 months ago. I'm still running in the same shoes, and I haven't decided if I'm going to buy them again or not. I might actually try another brand that has the massive cushioning as well, and just try them out. I've got this race in Michigan in late April, and I don't want to really get new shoes right before the event, but we'll see. Maybe I'll just buy one more pair of the Ultras with the half size bigger and see if that solves a problem, but like I said, it's really disappointing. And he asked me what was next on my race calendar. Well, that's the Trail Marathon up in Michigan, which is a 50K. April 30th. I was going to do the HAT 50K up in Maryland, but Dr. Smitty sent me an email and told me it was already sold out, so that was a little disappointing. Yeah, that's pretty much it, Alex. I've just got that one. There is one called the Belmonte Endurance Run that's in early March that has a 35K that I was thinking about doing just to run in the mountains as a training run, but there'd be some logistics involved with that, getting out there on time, and because it's an early morning start, and it's about a two-hour drive from where I'm at. Anyway, Alex, always good to hear from you, and I think I got another one in here from you. Yeah, he did his, he ran his first sub 2,400-mile race. I don't remember exactly which one it was. Let me look at the photo here. It's loading. It's called Across the Years, 100 miles. That's right, Alex, I remember that now. He said he's pinching himself still, 100.78 miles in 23 hours, 14 minutes, and 40 seconds. Everything just came together. I owe a lot of it to my crew. They made it possible. Had to stop very little. They kept me eating, drinking, and moving. It rained so much, and the course was soaked. He got the most blisters he ever had, but he's hobbling and wobbling around, and probably couldn't be happier. And he sent me a picture of the belt buckle, which is awesome, and he sent me also a picture of his buddies. So that's awesome, dude. I talked to my wife about coming to Arizona someday, and I think we might actually do that. What do you think, Monica? And so we might be looking you up, Alex, at some point in the future for either a place to stay or recommendations. All right, heard from David Ladner, and he is out of, oh, I can barely read it. He's out of Georgia. And he said, "Hey, Dave, just wanted to reach out to thank you for another year of podcast. Looking forward to hearing more from you in 2017. Dave ended 2016 with his 46th marathon, 44th state. And he says he's hoping to maybe complete all 50 in 2017. However, the ultimate goal is to enjoy the journey. Have a wonderful 2017. And I do appreciate that very much, David. And I appreciate the email. Sounds like you've been listening for a while, and I appreciate it very much. Always nice to hear. Always nice to hear. Heard from Keith. Keith is a new listener to the show. I have a every other Wednesday men's breakfast group that I go to, and Keith is part of that. And yeah, and he's what they call around here a megger. And I think he might actually be my next interview. So Keith, I'll be looking you up for that maybe a month down the line, or two shows out. Keith's got a very inspirational story of how he got into distance running. He did his first marathon November of 2016, the Richmond Marathon. It was a wonderful experience for him. And I get to see him around town. He's a local. And so, Keith, I'm going to be looking you up for an interview, and we'll be talking about that. Let's see. I heard from Lorelei. She did not tell me where she's from. Oh, she's from Indiana. She's been listening to the podcast for about a month now from her cubicle in northern Indiana. Keeps her brain awake when she's in a place where running is definitely discouraged. And she said, I helped get her psyched for a first attempt at Ultra a couple weeks ago when she attempted the Huff 50K. She listened to the Piedmont 8-Hour episode 3 times before the race. So I'm very flattered, Lorelai. That's very nice. Even though she did DNF because she was too slow on the snow and the ice and she didn't make the cut for the second loop. But she was not adequately prepared for the slush and was like running on cornstarch for the first 6 miles. Anyway, she got a chance to listen to episode 235, got excited about the Spartan Code, asked for it right after Midlow Pete got it. And it was funny because I think I had 3 people ask for the code. You know, come on, you guys. I've been putting out the Spartan race code for the last 2 episodes, and then I put it out again, and I get all this interest. So I'm starting to wonder if people are actually even listening or not. But anyway, sorry that you missed out on that, Lorelai. That got given out right before I got your email. And glad to have you along. I hope you have a good 2017, and then hopefully your next 50K, you will definitely finish that. Course heard from Dr. Smitty, and he is the one that told me the Hat 50K sold out. He did add a little extra commentary. He said we had a little discussion over email about how ultras are kind of different now, that they you have to really look far in advance, whereas even a few years ago, for some of the smaller stuff, you could just kind of sign up not that far out. And he said he agreed that ultras are different now. He said that's why... Oh, I'm actually reading my own email. I'm a dumbass. I was reading my own email. I think it was from Dr. Smitty. Okay, Dr. Smitty and I exchanged Christmas cards. He sent me a family picture of all of them wearing ugly sweaters. And what he had, Dr. Smitty's a dentist, and he actually had something in his mouth that made it look like he didn't have any teeth. It was really gross. It was a great, great family picture, though. He's the one that told me that the hat was sold out. He's going to be doing the Shamrock in March of this year, the Shamrock Marathon. He's doing all 3. So he's doing the 5K, the half marathon, and then the marathon. He's doing all those events. It used to be called the King Neptune Challenge, but now it's an unofficial thing. And he said that'll be good training for his 24-hour race, which is coming up in April. I think that's the... it's the one for charity. It's slipping in my mind at the moment, but I know he did it last year. Anyway, it's good to hear from you. Good to hear from you, Greg. And I will have the Ashland Railroad run date for you here real soon. I know that you probably will come up for that. And I think I remember looking at that date, and I think I had a conflict. I think that's the same day that my daughter is having a confirmation sacrament at church. So I think I looked at those dates, and I remember that there was a conflict. It's a one-time sacrament, and with that being said, I don't think I'll be involved with the railroad run this year. I have to figure out what time that thing starts, though. And the last email for the email bag section of the show is from Sandy, and we had a little discussion about ambassador program. She's an ambassador for a few companies. She works at a running store. She's retired from her professional job. And I had gotten this Chafex product from her, which looks like I'll be trying that this weekend, Sandy, because I'm going to be getting up past 10 miles. She says when she is an ambassador for these companies, they like them to like her to talk about the product, pass on the discount codes that people will order and try it, hopefully like it. She's also an ambassador for Skirt Sports Clothing, which she says she's so in love with that she would even wear it and sing the praises even if she wasn't affiliated with it. She said she loves what the company stands for, how she feels like she can connect and relate with other people who wear that same clothing when she sees it. And she said she never felt like that about a clothing line before. So here's the discount code. If you're familiar with Skirt Sports Clothing, which I think are running skirts, pretty sure. She's got a code that you can use if you're a woman and you want to order a running skirt from this company, or even go take a look at them. I'm not sure what the website is, but I'm sure you could search Skirt Sports Clothing. It's TUF20, capital TUF20 is the discount code for 20% off their site. And that's courtesy of Sandy. So she's also an ambassador for Feature Socks, which she's been there for 5 or so years. And I've gotten some socks from Sandy as a gift, which I wear. They're my only pair of purple socks that I have. Thankfully, they're right at the cuff of the shoe. I don't know if I could really wear purple socks that come above the shoe. She says she wears all their socks for all her running. They're amazing. And I do like the socks because they fit different than the A6 socks, which is what I have the most of. So, Sandy, appreciate the email, and I hope your recuperation continues to go well. Looks like you're doing better. And that is the email bag section of the show. I'm going to be back soon with another episode. We're going to probably do this interview with Keith at some point in the very near future. And I'm just going to give a little bit of my training recap. I'm up to 25 miles a week, and I'm feeling pretty good. The last 2 weeks have been very hard with work, though, with things that have come up, and it's hard to get those training runs in during the week. So what I've done is I've taken the pressure off myself from trying to get in 3 training runs during the weekdays, and I'm just going to do 2. The third one will be a bonus, and I'm going to go ahead and add, starting this weekend, I'm going to add the Sunday follow-up run, the double. It's not really a double long run sandwich yet because I'm not going to be doing a double-digit run on a Sunday. But I'm going to get the probably half my mileage for this week on the weekend, and I think that's going to work out better. I'm just going to have to get up earlier on Sundays because we go to Mass at 8:30 on Sunday mornings, and then I teach a class at 9:45. So it's hard for me to get home midday and then go out on a training run. I like to do it really early, get it done before I get the day, get things started. And so that kind of relieves a little bit of pressure without getting that third run in during the week, because I've been doing weight training for about 10 months now, and I'm doing that twice a week, and it's taken up a lot of time. Well, not a whole lot of time, but I'm enjoying that. So I'm just going to add the run into the weekend, and hopefully I'll be up to 30 miles a week soon. And then at that point, I'm going to start doing some getting it jumped up, so I'll be ready for this 50K in late April. So that's the podcast for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you come back. You can email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's how you get in touch with me. I don't always answer right away, but I always answer with very few exceptions over the years. And get those training runs in, and send me an email. Let me know what you're up to. If you're a new listener, I'd love to hear from you. ashlanddave@gmail.com. And I'll have the links to the stage races that David Williams talked about at ashlanddave.podbean.com. You can just click there and click right on those links. The one is the ancient Khmer Trail stage race. And then the other one is the Big Red One, which I'm not familiar with, but I will put that link on the website, and then I'll check it out, and you can check that out too. All right, this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.